should, I think it's gonna be lengthy, we have two interviewees. And if there's anything to change there, please inform us. Anything around our. So, I'll move.
Approved by consensus.
By consensus.
I feel like I need a script, like Robert's little script or whatever that.
Now we will go down to the minutes from last month. Review that, so does anything to amend, change? Okay. No changes, okay, go through the minutes by consensus. Okay, do we have any announcements? Public? Same, all right.
All right, so we're gonna jump into the interviews. I'd like to ask Jesse and Andre to have a seat out there. And I'll bring Jesse in after we can organize ourselves and get.
Thank you.
So Becky, since it's a very small group, I'm gonna ask you to, you know, maybe chime in and ask questions.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I'll just like that, Beth and I can take that a question each and then.
Yeah.
Five. You want me to do the first one? How about, who's gonna do the second one?
I can do the second one.
Who'd like to do the third one?
I'll do it.
Who'd like to do the fourth one? So Beth, you mind closing us out with the fifth one?
Or if you have a tennis question, I'm on it.
Yeah, and then of course, anyone can ask any follow-up questions, and after we go to the five, you can ask any additional questions you want. Certainly even based on their application, which is right there. We're gonna do Jesse first. Ready to bring him back in?
Yeah, you were here last month. Okay, so you reviewed this because of.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that, but I guess more for deliberation.
Alright, okay.
Can I remember our comments?
Do you need more time to look at it?
Actually, does PCAHI, does anybody know the acronym?
Primary Care at Home, Inc., I believe.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Alright, anything else? Alright, Jesse, your number's up.
This is the American Idol.
Alright, Jesse, sit down.
Okay, sure.
So we're going to do a round robin of questions, and then we might have some additional questions at the end. But let's just start off with like an intro question. How did you hear about the council, and why are you interested in joining?
Oh my god. So I've known about the council forever. I've been working in HIV for almost 25 years. I started my career over here in San Francisco, so I knew about the council. And then I went to Oakland and worked in Oakland, so I started doing the planning council in Oakland. So now I'm back working in San Francisco and dealing with clients from San Francisco. So that's my interest, is to get acclimated back to San Francisco to be a voice. Well, I went further.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's a good thing.
okay, and tell us about any previous experience you have with community planning or program planning for people with HIV. You mentioned some of your experience.
So I just did. So yeah, so like I said, I've been working. Well, first of all, I'm HIV positive myself.
Thank you.
And so that means I'm always on the, I love the jobs that I've had because they've been on the ground. So, you know, I'm not a physician, but I've been on both sides of the table. And so I know exactly what it is living with HIV. So I think of, so I've had the opportunity to work with organizations that let me do, hey, that let me do creative things. So I think of social things. I've taken groups to whitewater rafting. Just anything to get people outside of their normal state and to teach them new things. It's kind of my pleasure to see people laughing. And so I've done a lot of community organizations. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Jesse, thank you for being here. Excited to see you.
You're welcome.
So I've read your application.
Yes.
You are wonderful. But what do you personally think that you would, what would you bring to our council, or what's your greatest contribution?
Well, I bring a lot. You know, like I said, I have a passion. I'm boots on the ground, so I'm always talking to people in the community, what they need. Also, you know, especially, I think, for me, I can be a voice for the Black community, especially because of the low percentage here in San Francisco. So I'll be doing groups, and my ear will be to the ground, and that's what my hope is, to be a voice for that community.
Hi, Robert. Okay, so when making decisions as a council member, what would you view as the three important elements in making these decisions?
Okay, that was kind of a hard question. Because I thought about it, like I said, I want to be a voice. So it wouldn't be my personal decision, it would be what's really happening in the community, the needs. I think I also follow anecdotal kind of research out in the community, but also statistics and the facts. You're welcome.
I have a very structural question about the council. Okay. Do you feel you would be able to abide by attendance expectations as a council member? And do you know what those are? Or have you been oriented to that yet? Okay, good.
Yeah, so the good thing about it, my job is supporting me, so I'll get paid to come here, so yeah, I'll come happily. But such a rewarding thing to be a part of. Just really the number one.
See, I have a follow-up question. You've been to, I think I saw you at least at two different council meetings, maybe
yes.
More.
Yes.
But what did you think?
I love the structure of it and also the advocacy of it.
I don't have any more questions. Do you all have any questions? Do you have any questions for us?
No.
No? Okay. Well, then, we're going to ask you to enjoy the rest of your day without us, and I will let you know how the vote goes.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
And I know this.
He had a bunch of questions that he had made set.
This one, my stuff over here.
Yeah. This one?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
And
thank you.
Yeah.
All right, if you can pass your confidential application.
Okay. Oh, wait. We still need to discuss this, right?
Yeah. Discuss and
go blush up.
He automatically has my okay because he's a consumer, although he's a provider, it says.
I was surprised he didn't have any questions for us, and I felt like his answers were pretty short, and I didn't see a lot from his resume or his application. That was my only observation.
If curiously, and also just right here, by the way, my voice is still going away sometimes, so sorry about that. Jesse, I know him curiously personally forever and ever. Curiously, he knows a lot more about us and Shanti and many of these things that you guys might think. He has been very involved with the group, with Greg Cassin, in many different ways for a long, long time. Definitely, he even has been collaborating in some of the retreats that Greg does for HIV-positive people. He goes a lot to also to the dances and to all these things. And if anything, like I said before, he's not only very smart, but also very connected with the communities. From my side.
I felt the same about the follow-up questions, but then I followed up and he's been through several of the council meetings and expressed his experience, so I think you pretty much knew what he was getting into.
I think based on the sparseness of his responses and even the sparseness of his verbal responses, he's someone who we definitely should match with a mentor. I'm not sure how he would feel about just the high level of sort of public policy language and ideas, having to absorb that. So I think a careful match with a mentor is going to be a real important way to have him succeed on the council. But as Jesus said, he's very active as far as the service array goes, so he'll definitely be able to speak to personal experiences and what he's seen.
It's also hard to know with these questions how long to answer for. Like, I think he kind of admitted that in the first one, he wasn't sure quite how much to say. So I have a feeling some of that was sort of like structural, or just like he wasn't sure what length the interview should be.
I make a motion. I'll move.
Well, I also, I guess I have a question too, because I feel like this came up last time we talked about it, there would be some concerns of conflict. They're also being concerned with like one or the other. I feel like we had a lengthy discussion about that. I don't know if it's appropriate to bring that up now or.
Sure, yeah, if I recall the discussion, I think Capsule, there were two people from his agency who applied, and the group decided one was a service provider who was not a consumer of services. The other was a service provider, Jesse, who was a consumer of services. If I recall correctly, the group decided we're gonna go with consumer of services, not so much because where he works, but because of his own life experience.
Okay.
So that was a motion
yes.
And a second.
Yeah.
Is there a discussion on the motion to forward to the full council for a vote? Any opposed to that motion? All right, so we will move it forward to the full council on Monday.
Questionnaire list. The same.
Thing? Yeah.
Of course.
Thing of evening. Yeah.
The same.
Okay. Has everyone had a chance to look at Andre's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me bring him in. You know what we forgot to do with Jesse was actually to introduce ourselves. That's terrible. So why don't we start with a round of introductions before we jump into the questions. So you already know me, Andre. I'll go over to Jesus. He introduced himself.
Jesus Guillen, long-term advocate and member of the council.
Oh, Kira, I'm just council staff.
Pat, council staff.
I'm Robert, I'm a council member. Oh, where do you work, better? Robert, I'm a council member with the SF Community Council. Okay.
And I'm Ron Hernandez, I'm Consumer Services. I've been with this council since 2012.
Hi, Hensley Bosch, I work with HIV Hospital.
Mayor, HIV Health Services.
Manuel Vasquez, I'm with the Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development. I manage all our HIV housing programs.
Just jump right in with the intro question. So how did you hear about the Planning Council, and why are you interested in joining, Andre?
Okay, well, I've been doing this for a minute. I started out in 2004, working for the original HIV Prevention Planning Council. Did that, and so, you know, did that, and there are a bunch of things like working housing, homeless, all different phases of HIV, both care and prevention. And, you know, now I work at St. Mary's. It's now part of UCSF system. And basically, I wanted to get out of my silo, because I see people sort of downstream, but I want to help shape some of the policy before they get to that point, or at least understand what's going on before they come into my office.
Great. You did kind of just share your work in the community, but maybe tell us a little bit more specifically about community planning or program planning, like the services you work with or things you've done with people who are HIV.
Like I said, I started out with Black Coalition on AIDS. Did everything from street outreach to program coordination to I eventually became director of prevention programs. So, you know, did the contract work, did like, you know, I was even a test counselor for a minute, did motivational interviewing. So, because I came out of a background, because I was a community organizing for the Harm Reduction Coalition. So, around needle exchange, so a range of services I've done. You know, again, you know, like I work now at St. Mary's, and I do like case management. And so I have to do a number of different things, working from advocacy for getting the meds, navigating through city services. You know, many of my patients, they tend to be senior, and so they also have living with HIV and they're senior citizens. So as they decline, you know, they can no longer do daily living activities. I advocate to find services for them.
So, what do you think you would bring to the council? What do you think your greatest contribution would be?
I have a passion for the work, and I have the experience at various venues. You know, like I said, you know, I sit behind a desk now, but you know, I started out doing needle exchange, then in shooting galleries, doing street outreach, you know, working with folks in the hospital, you know, so I bring that whole, I think, a comprehensive perspective to this council. And you know, I'm Black. You know, there are fewer. You know, I grew up in San Francisco. There are fewer and fewer Black people here. But that population tends to be much sicker. And so I bring that perspective.
One question because I see that you work on the home project.
Yeah.
With,
like a program coordinator, just planning. I guess you're in that position now. So basically it was like trying to create the infrastructure to bring people who are out of care back into care. And once they got in, then what? You know, how to keep them in care.
Okay.
Do you feel you would be able to abide by attendance expectations as a council member? And that's usually, you know, one afternoon meeting and one evening meeting a month, and can be more occasionally.
Yeah. Like I said, I've done this before. So, you know, what I really like to do is to do like community engagement and hear from the other stakeholders in addition to the full council. So
that is a thing. There is a community engagement committee, and also people are pretty involved with some of the needs assessments and community outreach and listening. Council members can volunteer to be on subcommittees.
So when making decisions as a council member, what would you view as the three most important things in making a decision? Sorry. So when making decisions as a council member, what would you view as the three important elements in making your decision?
One is who are the stakeholders? How are they impacted? And realistically, what's that cost? You know, because you have a limited time. And so, you know, there are trade-offs in everything, you know. And so, yeah, I think when we in the nonprofit world will often say, well, if it saves one person, then it's worth it. No, there's a cost to that. You can't spend $50 million saving one person when you can spend that same $50 million and save 10,000 people. So those factors, basically the cost benefit analysis, those are the factors. That's the big factor that comes into my mind.
Do you have any couple?
And, you know, like I said, it's working with the stakeholders. And they, you know, first and foremost, they have a voice. And, you know, we can sit around this council and in our wisdom say, this is what we think those folks want. When you talk to those folks, they can say, no, I don't need that, nor do I want it. You know, they may say that intervention is intrusive, and I don't want it.
I appreciate that answer as far as taking consideration what you're actually hearing from the community. That's I think, something we always need to keep in mind. I have a follow-up question, actually. You have a career across multiple agencies and actually in multiple modalities as well. It's a long career as well. What have you noticed as far as, like, recently, as far as, like, any patterns, challenges that you've seen with clients? Like, what's sticking out to you?
One is, if you live in San Francisco, period, you are housing insecure. I don't care what you do. You are one job lost away. You are housing insecure. Particularly with my patients, they are already vulnerable. And it's not only that, it's something like some clerk down at the Department of Social Services forgets to check off a box. That person's life is turning, it's turmoil, at least temporarily. You know, and then housing insecurity, and then, you know, what is it, like 75% of our folks living with HIV are like over 50 or 60,
yeah,
something like that. So then we got to deal with HIV and senior services. And, you know, I work with patients who, where I needed to call adult protective services. And getting someone in a SNF is just like as
so hard.
Rare as finding hinge teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a tough job. And so at minimum is like to sort of ease that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because oftentimes when I found that is that person has to go out of county. They not only have to leave their home, they gotta go out of county. And that, you know, in a city as wealthy as San Francisco, relative to other city, we shouldn't have to do that.
So yeah, okay, sounds like barriers to care and access,
yeah,
and just housing overall, classic issue. All right, thank you. Does anyone else have any other questions?
Can I ask you a question? May I?
Of course.
You talk a little bit about the clients or the patients, but I wanna know about you guys, those case managers. What is your opinion of the sense of how you guys feel about your sales case managers, let's mention overwork, too many clients, or the agency is putting too much pressure in you guys. Do you guys have enough time with the client? You know, things like that. What is your perception about
well,
that?
Well, what you know, one thing that, that happens is I have a relatively small caseload, but so I have the time to deal with, you know, labor-intensive issues. You know, like I said, finding someone, getting someone into a SNF is a labor-intensive process. You know, I had to, you know, I had, like, you have to talk to a bunch of SNFs who take Medicare, Medi-Cal, and though, you know, I can, or if someone is having, you know, their Medi-Cal was cut off, you know, I have the time to call down there and work with the person, talk to the patient, and call Department of Social Service. So I have, you know, so I have that time. Whereas, you know, and if you call me, I'm going to, you're not going to, unlikely, you're going to get a human voice. A lot of times, you know, you call, even UC, you call, you don't get a human voice because they have this huge caseload. Whereas, you know, I have 60 people. But I have the time. You know, and like I said, there's just, because it's a big hospital, it moves at a snail's pace, bureaucracy. You get frustrated with that. You know, because one example, the city, we use gift cards as incentives. City Health Department used to give us gift cards. Well, now they don't do that anymore. So now I'm thinking, all right, we need, we're going to buy the gift cards. But again, it's the same bureaucracy. You know, we need gift cards, we need gift cards. We need
Sorry,
gift cards.
I'm having trouble hearing you. Could you repeat that?
Your gift cards. But you know, yeah, you're dealing with, you're in the middle of big institutions, and I have enough experience to just, you know, come up with workarounds. As simple as that.
Any additional questions? Andre, do you have any questions for us?
What is what are some of the there's never enough money.
Yeah.
But are there any other intractable issues that you guys face?
That we're not spending the
we'll
spend money on? Like kind of like a wish list?
Yeah.
Housing.
Yeah.
Housing and aging stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are among the things. Sometimes mental health comes up in the group a lot.
Yeah. What about substance use?
That comes up, but I feel like, I mean, I don't know, I'm probably not, but I feel like we have pretty good things in place for people who want treatment or want anything along the scale. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's not come up as a thing people don't have access to very often.
We used to have more services for non-Western medication, like acupuncture and things like that. Most of those things have been, you know, put aside. Those are not important, but for many of us, it still is.
Yeah, I would add to that, there's several service categories that were either eliminated by the council itself or by HRSA.
Yeah.
And the complementary therapies that AC just mentioned was eliminated by the beds, and that's something that people have a lot of value out of.
Yeah.
And one of the service categories that was eliminated by the council was adult day health. And we know that there are plenty of seniors who could really use that. It helps reduce isolation, creates community, all that stuff, but we don't have that.
Yeah, that's the one, you know, one thing that I do as a case manager is I have like this like 3 month check-in with folks because you don't want them cycling through the emergency room.
No.
So, you know, I take a proactive step. You know, how you doing? You sleeping? You eating good? You know, who are your friend? When's the last time you talked to that person? Because those are, you know, if you have a pet, you know, are just issues like that. Because that person just cycles through the emergency room because they're lonely.
Yeah.
We have to reach in, not just waiting for them to reach out.
Right. And you know, the hospital's always, you know, they're being conscious. They're thinking, you know, we can't spend $2,000, $3,000 a day to have this person cycling through the emergency room.
Yep. And a lot of times it gets lost. It's like, what's the person's quality of life?
Yeah.
they're so focused on the actual specific outcomes of whether it's mental health care, housing, not realizing that a lot of what brings people to points of challenges in the emergency room is like overall quality of life. Do you have anyone looking out at you?
Yeah, you know, it's like I said, you know, you live long enough, diseases of age associated with aging are going to happen. So, you know, again, part of my caseload is small, you know, I have a small caseload, is to sit down and talk to someone that living with HIV sort of circling in the background, they're battling cancer.
Yeah.
And to, you know, and I can't, you know, I can only be a ear, you know, to talk about their fears, hopes, the whole day. That's what I wanted to do. I hope it's enough.
You have any more questions for us?
That's about it. I'll probably think of them on the way
home. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, then we will invite you to enjoy the rest of the day without us.
Okay.
And then I'll let you know how this group goes.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So how's it going to do it?
Yeah.
How's the program doing?
I don't know if that became H1.
Yeah, I think so, if it's the same one. Was it a SPINS program?
Yeah,
it can be H1.
Okay.
It's a target address. Actually,
yeah, it's going to be great.
I'm glad it's on. I'm glad it's still here.
Yeah, I received that one too.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
you. It's on the EEG now, right?
Yeah.
It's on the EEG now, right? Yeah.
All right, if you can pass over. And actually, Beth, do you all have an HHS, like a confidential document trash can? Yeah. Okay, can I give this to you?
Yes, I don't remember where it is. It's right up there. Oh, great. It's like a big one? Okay. Oh, yeah. Just trying to build lots of ones, not very big. Oh, yeah, no, the giant one is like literally big. And we can save them all.
Discussion. Speaking very born, he's HIV negative. I like to see more positive people be on the council, but everyone's an ally. I appreciate that. Yeah, I really appreciated his responses on his application. Thought that were very thorough. And he does have a lot of experience in the community. He seems like he was talking about budget, and he seems physically mindful of, like, you know, what we do. So that was helpful to know. Like, he did that seriously with our allocations and stuff like that. I don't know if he could be combative a little bit, but I don't know. But yeah.
I see that, and then I felt that as well, like, you know, but I feel like once he sees, like, has he been to the council yet?
Yeah, he was actually part of the former HIV Prevention Council before we moved.
Oh, okay. So, he knows what he's doing. He does have a lot of background. I mean, again, the program that 2013 that we started is nationally recognized and still going right now.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm sure it looks a little different.
I know him a little bit from his, he's one of the HIV Health Services contracts from St. Mary's, and I met him for, like, voucher audits and other things, and I've always thought very well of him. I've only met him a few times, but, like, he's been very good always. And he's one of the more active people from the program that, like, you know, hosts when other people come by and such.
As a member of the council, I think, I will go a little bit with what you were saying. I think it's very, very important to get more people, not only HIV positive, as you mentioned, but also consumers of services. I have noticed, without really making it a huge thing, sometimes people that work at some of the agencies have not really enough information about the services or what's happening really in these services from the agencies. So I think it's very, very important. I suggested before more communication or other ways, but it'll be a good idea to have more consumer services or communication between us.
Well, you know, Manny, I feel that we are looking for more consumers, but looking at our numbers, I think we need to bring that up before we get to it.
Oh, definitely more consumers. We also need more POC.
Yeah.
POC.
People of color.
Like a lot, like a, don't call me by book, please.
Yeah, no, I'm not
a by book.
Well, change motion.
Yeah, looking for a motion.
I'll put a motion out there.
All right, to forward to the full council?
Yes.
Is there a second to that motion? Robert seconds. Any opposed to forwarding this applicant to the full council to vote on?
Abstain.
Okay. All right, so that carries. In our abstention.
Yeah, good work, guys. We'll move on to Zakira.
Yep. Yeah, so as you can see, the notice of attendances that were sent last month were to the following: to Irwin, Bill, Elise, Irma, and Charles. And so that's just noting that they were sent already. Then moving farther down, we do have as well letters of probation that were sent last month. So that was to Jesus and Marco. And then we have a couple of requests for leaves of absences. So we have Franco, who was initially on a leave of absence and then was supposed to come back this month. However, they're now requesting a medical LOA with a return date to be determined. Then we have Ed Chitty, who is requesting a leave of absence from May to June, and so Ed would be returning in July. Next, we have Zachary, who was also on a leave of absence and is now requesting a medical LOA, similarly to Franco, with a return date to be determined. And then we have Helen Lynn. Did Helen get back to you? No.
What does her LOA end?
It did end this month.
Okay, so we'll just see what we see.
All right.
So we have, of these, okay, so Helen is over as of May, you said?
Yes, Helen
okay,
was
so,
supposed to.
So it'll start counting against her. Zachary, when did he? When did they submit their LOA, their new LOA?
Last month.
Yeah,
last
they
month,
were
so it'll be for this month.
Yes.
Okay, so May, June. Ed, okay, that's pretty straightforward. And we did hear back from Franco, I forget.
Yes.
Okay. Can we go back to letters of probation?
Can I ask you, was that sent?
Via email? No, via email, yeah.
Okay, so it might be somewhere in the list. I'll check. And I would love to know what that means.
So letter of probation means that you have missed a certain amount of months, and actually of meetings.
Yeah.
And that means that if a person is on probation, they cannot vote. So that means
okay, so
that you and Marco are unable to vote until you actually get your attendance in order.
And
That means attending, what is it, 2 out of 4 meetings,
yes.
Basically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've noticed that you have come to membership a couple times. Would it be easier for us to switch your committee from meeting engagement to membership?
No, what I'm trying to do right now is, and it has to do with health issues. And trying to come to us whatever I can because
yeah.
of my health issues.
Of course.
I mean, I know that does not count, but it's a way for me to stay informed and at least knowing what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't count towards attendance, but you know, if you're feeling if you're experiencing health challenges, and you've been very open about how you've had to deal with pain
yeah.
a lot recently, just keep us in the loop, and we can, like, if you allow us to speak to the membership committee about it, you know, the membership committee has been flexible about things for sure.
I will note that,
yeah, so
just because officially I should not be here. The therapists are still going to home for speech and movement. So I'm trying to just know as much as I can to don't lose track
yeah.
of things.
That makes sense. And we appreciate the effort for sure. One kind of hack, I guess, as far as making sure that you like it counted, even if you're not feeling so poorly, our 3 subcommittees are, including this one, are usually virtual. So even if you just sign on and then after a little while,
yeah.
if you're not feeling well, you actually will still be counted like as present during that meeting. So that might be something to help improve your attendance, if, even if you're feeling poorly, just by logging on.
Yeah, what I'm doing is like I'm putting every meeting on my agenda, and if I can come in person, I prefer that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I try to.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because the virtual thing again, like if you show up, stay as long as you feel you, like you physically can.
Yeah.
And hopefully easier too, so you won't have to like, if you're feeling poorly that day, you won't have to leave your apartment. Okay, thanks, Kira.
Yeah.
Thank you.
May I ask a question too?
Yes.
About Bills, just because I know he's been at full council, where is he going wrong on attendance, so I can let him know?
Council Affairs.
Yes.
Council Affairs? Okay, I'm not sure he knows he's on that committee, because I think we go, yeah. Steering can't count for him, right?
No.
It has to be Council Affairs? Okay.
No, it could be any of the subcommittees,
any of the three. Okay.
Community engagement or membership, whatever fits his schedule better.
Alright. We'll talk to him. Because I know he goes to steering and co-chairs and always goes to, or tries to always go to, so, and then we go to the other one, so I'm not sure if he knows he should be going to one of them.
Oh.
So,
I
think it's...
Both of those.
I think he self-identifies with the wrong committee, is why I'm asking. So, Council Affairs, right?
Yes, because he's in the past, he's not one who's often, like, an attendance person.
Mm-hmm.
Council Affairs hasn't typically been an issue for him in the past.
Okay, cool. So, it's
probably
what
I don't know.
Yeah, it might be that.
Yeah, it might be
our fault. So we'll
they got a
hand. Undo this.
Yeah. Actually, you do have to show up though.
Yeah.
If he is on, like, if he switches to steering committee, would that
steering doesn't count?
Doesn't count.
Yeah, that's why when you, she told me downstairs, she's like, Bill, I noticed, and I was like, I think it might be us. Sorry about that.
So yeah, I mean, if he thinks that, he could either start coming to Council Affairs, or if he wants to let us know, and we'll let membership know that actually community engagement or this one would be better for him to appear in.
Okay.
Yeah, but steering doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah, we'll start with them. I have a feeling of this understanding.
Yeah,
sure.
Thanks.
All right. And then moving on to current leaves of absences, this is just noting that Richard is on a current leave of absence.
I think we could actually pull him off, right? Because he showed up to community engagement, and
yes.
He showed up to, so what we'll do, because it's kind of like a standing LOA in a way, because, you know, the three of us have said that yesterday, his issues are not improving anytime soon, but he's in great spirits. So let's pull him off that, and then, like, if we can put him on, we could put him back on at any point, but if he's coming, we might as well start considering him active. You know? And because obviously of his issues, he can continue to zoom in.
Are you the one that keeps track of?
That's Kat.
Would you like some fruits and strawberry margaritas? Doesn't work like that.
All right, moving on to the demographic information update. So you'll see both of our demographic information spreadsheets here. I'll go over the Aries one. And so this one, we only have one change, and that's due to a new member joining last month, or technically this month. And so you see that reflected in the total number at the very bottom left-hand corner. So that total membership number is now up from 27 to 28. And ironically, it did help our male, if you can see that red highlighted row. So now we're up to 75% of male council membership on the council. That also helped our Latino/Hispanic, as well as our American Indian/Alaska Native. And that's all I have.
Well, it will be a good thing if the council approve, and of course the mayor's office later on, approve both Jesse and Andre, because that will get us to a little bit further on the way, right?
Yes.
We'll have three for that one, and we'll have one for that Roman zero. Slowly but surely.
And
is Johnny Rodriguez already noted on here?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Mark, you say we still need more people of color?
Oh, yeah.
In general or at any particular?
Well, not in general, so just look at the red. We need more black people.
We need more black people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Feels weird to say we need more men.
I can't make an effort.
you'll also see that we could use more seniors, 65 plus, that's surprising.
Seniors and black people.
I've always thought me as so old.
All right, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Kara. I'd like to add an agenda item for the next month's meeting. Can you add mentorship? Because I do think it's important that Jesse be matched.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Andre needs to be matched. He seems very familiar with system of care and also what's on the prevention council previously. But I think Jesse would be great to have a mentor. So let's just have that discussion next month.
Is it over?
That's our share.
Oh, I just have three fast announcements.
I just have to announce our next meeting in order.
Ah, can I do?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Very, very fast, because I think it's very important, and it will be up to Kira or them to pass you the information. UC Berkeley with CASAS, it really just put out a huge study of LGBTQ elders, and it has data and videos and everything. I think it's super important, and it's from the social worker people on the university. And I'm honored to be collaborating with them, so that's one. I can pass you the info. Second, we're working in an Alzheimer and LGBTQ people also with Jason Flatt, that some of you might know, and Marcy Adelman. And second one, it just began, finally they had the money to do the study for psilocybin and trauma, that I'm also collaborating with them as soon as the group.
Oh, the one who came to the council?
Yeah, they're looking especially for Latinos in particular, but it's anyone that has any kind of trauma, not just HIV, but it can be in many different things. They are using psilocybin, but also psilocybin, but also therapy and group therapy. So there's three very important things, I think, for our elders in our communities. So if it's okay with you guys, I will pass you the links. And,
yeah.
And
I
think
you have it. Should be that third one also, to just shock you in general.
Thank you. Thank you, Isis. All right, so we will meet again next month, June 11th, same time.
Virtual. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, I love that furry vest you have.